Okay. Scripture reading this morning is from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 through 16. Hear the word of the Lord. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of the darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme or to governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. For those that have ear to hear, hear the word of the Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Bill. Children, you can be dismissed. And if you have a Bible, turn back to Micah chapter 5. Micah 5, we'll be finishing chapter 5 today. And let's pray. Father, we are a needy people. And I pray that the Spirit of God would take the word he wrote and change us. I pray this by faith. Change us. In Christ's name, amen. What does the world see? Did you go looking at Christmas lights this year at any time? We had supper with Whitney and Peyton the other night, and Mr. and Mrs. Claus were going to go out and do some Christmas shopping, I think, so we took Peyton with us in the car seat in the car, and so we decided to go look at some Christmas lights. So we're driving all over around, you know, looking at lights, and look at that one, look at that one, look at that one, and then we hear, Peyton is in her car seat, zonk, you know, but we enjoyed it. If you notice, when you look at Christmas lights, you see a lot of different things. Sometimes you look at Christmas lights and you notice that somebody put a lot of time and effort into that. I mean, planning, diagramming, they're just perfect. And then you look at some Christmas lights and you go, wow, they had a few strands left. They just threw them up there where they'd fit. That's usually us over the years. Have a few strands left and let's stick them here and string them here. Sometimes it looks like a professional put them up. I mean, they're just absolutely amazing. But as you look at the lights, you have different opinions about them. This person sacrificed a lot. This person thought about it. This is important to this person. Wow, and you notice the lights, they stand out. So let me ask us today, as the world passes by us, what comments are they saying about our display? As we display to the world what we claim to have in our hearts, what do they say about us? Boy, they put a lot of time and sacrifice and effort into their religious walk. They just strung those up. They just strung them up. They don't care a whole lot about it, but they're sort of attached. After prophesying, as we saw last week in chapter 5, of the ruler who came to Bethlehem, Micah now tells us some of the results of this ruler's ministry in the life. And the first one is that God's people should be a blessing to the world. You ever think about that? That this babe who came in a manger came to change our hearts. And one of the reasons is for you and I to bless this dark world that we live in. You have seen how dark it is, haven't you? And it's getting darker and darker. Look at verse 7 of chapter 5. Then the remnant of Jacob shall be in the midst of many peoples, like dew from the Lord, like showers on the grass, which delay not for a man, and nor wait for the children of man. And notice Micah's emphasis again on the remnant. The small group of people who follow God, that narrow road follower that Jesus talked about. And remember, God's power always uses the small to confound the wise. And what we see here is, notice the rest of verse 7, we have the small of Jacob in the midst of many. See the contrast? God's people who are small, but I put them in the midst of the bigness of the world. So we find out right away that God's people are not taken out of the world, but he has put us here in the world to do something very, very special. We are to make a difference. God expects his church to make a difference in people's lives. In fact, in Genesis 12, God told Abraham, "In you shall all the families of the earth be blessed." And of course, we know Jesus came through that line. It's always been, I want the earth to be blessed by my son, by the people of my son. And notice what Micah says. This is what you and I are to be because of this babe that came in Bethlehem, chapter 5, verse 2. Like dew from the Lord, like showers on the grass. Did you ever picture yourself as being dew? And like being a shower of rain? You see, in Palestine in the summer months, there wasn't a whole lot of rain, and the heavy dews from the Mediterranean Sea would come along the land, and it was absolutely essential for agricultural purposes for the dew to be on the ground. And if you go through the Bible and you look up the word dew, time and time again, you will see it related to being a blessing, being a gift from God, because it was such a necessary thing. In fact, in Genesis 27, when Isaac blessed Jacob, look what he said. May God give you of the dew of heaven and of the fatness of the earth and plenty of grain and wine. But when he blessed Esau in verse 39, he said Esau would go away from the dew of heaven. So dew is a reference here symbolically to refreshing blessedness. I expect my people, the small people who I put in the midst of this big dark world, to be a refreshing blessedness to this world I put them in. Wow. You're to be like showers. You ever notice when your yard gets all yellowy? And just in the summer, usually July and August. What is everybody talking about? We need rain. We need rain to fall in the land. The farmers, we need rain. We need rain. We need rain. Maybe not in July. I'm not sure of the sequence. Scott could tell you. But it's a blessing. I remember living in Florida at times that churches would gather to pray for rain. And Micah is saying, my people, God's people, whom this babe in Bethlehem came to be their ruler and their savior, I expect you in this dark world to be like dew on the ground and to be like a refreshing shower to those who do not know me. Wow. Don't think of it that way much, do we? How often do you get angry at the world you live in? How often at the coworkers you work with does anger burn in your heart? How often do you see sin just put in front of us and you hear God's word being blasphemed and talked against and the world and the country going the opposite way? And that sinful anger, there's a good anger, but a sinful anger burns up again in your heart. Do you ever stop to realize that because of this babe that came and died for us, that he expects us as a small group of believers to be a blessing to a dark world? Wow. Can you imagine these who were carted off to Babylon in a few years reading this? You mean, I am now a slave in Babylon, and I have been separated from my wife and my kids. I've left my homeland. And now you, God, expect me to be to these Babylonians like dew on the ground in a refreshing shower on a summer day? Yes. Is that easy? It's not easy, is it? But God expects his remnant to make a difference. And the ruler Jesus enters our life and he regenerates us. He gives us birth and he says, I have changed you. And one of those reasons is that you will bless this dark world. If you have a Bible, you might want to turn to Matthew. Or just listen. Matthew chapter 5. It's interesting. Isn't that what Christmas does? Have you ever noticed at Christmas time a lot of people get happier, cheerier? The music, the lights. You might get a gift or two or three. I have noticed that usually even some really, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? Scrooges? They tend to even, you know, enjoy. Listen to Matthew 5, 13 to 16. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out. People trample under it with their feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but they put that light on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, you let your light shine before others. Let it shine so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. That's the remnant, shining the light, being a blessing to the world. Paul in Philippians 2 worded it pretty much the same way, but we're going to read that. Philippians 2, verses 12 to 16. Philippians 2, 12. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation, not work for, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Why? Because it's God who works in you to will and to work for his good pleasure. So in God's working, verse 14, do all things without grumbling or disputing. Why? Verse 15, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish, in the middle, in the midst, the small amongst the big, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation. Is that where we live today? A twisted generation. But you are to shine without any blemish, among whom you shine as lights in this world. Verse 16, holding fast God's word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that you do not run in vain. There you have it again. The small, God puts us as his remnant in the big to make a difference, to be a blessing to this dark world. When we used to live in Florida, one of the places we lived had a big, it was above ground pool, but it was one of those big kind, you know, that a small child, you know, wouldn't be good to get in there. But I would go out and run in the hot Florida sun. And you know where I went the minute I hit home? It's like, almost heaven, backyard pool. Awesome. Awesome. Okay, bad song. But you ever mow your yard on a hot day? Now, I have a huge yard. We could put cattle back in my backyard. I got groundhog, turkey, and deer, but we could put cattle. But I always get my little igloo thermos thing and fill it with ice and water. And I put it out there with me. So I go up and down a few rows, and you're just sweating. It's in your eyes. It's horrible. But, boy, what's it like when you go and get that, you open that little duboflachi up top, straw, whatever you call it. What do you call that thing? Sucky thing. I don't know what you call it. And you just start drinking it, and it's like it's 20 degrees below zero, but it's so hot. It's just like, oh, it's so refreshing. You ever go out on maybe the first sort of fall day after a hot summer, and you go outside, and it's like, oh. Or maybe the first spring day, and it's just like, you just want to suck it in. What did I just describe? Refreshing. I had a good glass of sweet tea yesterday at a Chinese restaurant. Chinese sweet tea. Oh, that's right. There's just something about a good glass of sweet tea. It's just so refreshing. There's just something about being refreshed. Or have you ever eaten one of those mints? What are those called? They look like silver mints. Peppermint mints. What are they called? Patty, something patty. York peppermint patty. And you feel like you're skiing, like the commercial. It's just, oh, wow. Can I ask us all today, are we that to a lost world? Are we refreshing? Because that baby grew up and died for us and changed us. Or does arrogance enter our heart and I look at that guy and say, I'm better than him. I'm better than her. Yeah, you just go on the other side of the road. Do you and I go to work? Are you the kind of person when you call in sick, everybody's glad you called in sick? You have some of those, right? Then they call in sick, you go, yes. They're not there. They're not here today. And that day is sort of, wow, there's a bounce in your step. What are you so happy for? I can't tell you. But you put it on Facebook, so-and-so not here today. It's wonderful. Are you the kind of person that when you're not there, are they like, oh, they're not here today? If you're not at church, do people go, oh, I'm so sad they're not at church today? What does the world see from us? Are we really refreshing to the world? It's what Micah said. And it all stemmed in chapter 5, verse 2, because of the Savior from Bethlehem. You were to be like dew from the Lord. Like showers on the grass. You know, maybe this year, under our Christmas tree, we ought to open up a box that says Galatians 5, 22 to 24. You know what that says? The fruit of the Spirit. Maybe some of us, including me, need to go under that tree. Where's my running shoes? Where's my 55-gallon drum of M&Ms? Where's it at? Yeah, we had a big tree. What's this? Galatians 5, 22, 24. You open it up. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, kindness. Wouldn't that be a great tree, this present, to open up this Christmas time? Maybe some of us need to open up some love and joy and peace and kindness to our wife. Isn't it easy, guys, sometimes to treat your wife like she's your sister? You ever talk to her like she's your sister? I'll be honest, there's been a couple times my wife has said, I'm not your sister. Then I turn around and go, thank God. You know, I don't want to marry my sister. But you get the idea, right? Or wives to your husband? Are we refreshing to our husbands, to our wives? Especially maybe if your mate's not saved. Do they see Jesus? Do you ever need some love and joy and peace and gentleness and tenderness and kindness towards your children? Mom and Dad, are we refreshing to our children? Or do they see us as just... Did you break that glass? Yes, Mommy. Maybe as Mom and Dad, we need to be refreshed. We need to be like dew from the Lord. That doesn't mean you have to agree with everything, but have some kindness and shower. How about your coworkers?
Let's skip that one.
Isn't it something who God puts you with at work? Do you think God has a little bit of a sense of humor? Or do you think God knows how to grow you by putting you by certain people who will push you and challenge you and test you to see how serious you are about this walking with Jesus thing? Have you ever had a new guy show up at work? And your mind's going, oh boy, what have they sent me? What have they sent me? Are we a refreshing dew on the ground? A refreshing spring day? How about your neighbors? How about family members? How about finding this under our tree? Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. Are we refreshing to a dark world? That sinners look at us and go, wow, he just got fired, but he didn't run through the building shooting people. He kept his peace. He kept his calm. Wow, how refreshing that is. to a people who are trapped and enslaved under God's judgment and wrath, to a people not forgiven, people who are condemned, have no hope, they're doomed, they're in Satan's family, the Bible says. Do you ever go to work or in your family and say, God has called me to be a refreshing dew and a refreshing shower to these people who are trapped by the devil? I know if you're like me, I tend to maybe want to be a lightning bolt to them. That comes with the shower sometimes. But God says, don't be the lightning bolt. Be a refreshing shower. What is the greatest refreshment we can bring? It's the gospel. Gospel of Jesus Christ. The small in the midst of many. But there's an interesting contrast in the next two verses. And for kids, this is on your sheet there if you're filling it out. God's people should never be defeated by the world. Now, some of you are going to like this one. Look at verse 8. And the remnant, there's the small, of Jacob shall be among the nations. There's the small amongst the big again. I don't take my people out of the world. I put them in there. And again, he repeated it. In the midst of many peoples, like a lion among the beasts of the forest, like a young lion among the flocks of sheep, which when it goes through, treads down and tears in pieces, and there is none to deliver. Your hand shall be lifted up over your adversaries. All your enemies shall be cut off. We're going, I like that one. I don't know if I'd like to be a dew on the ground, but I like thinking of myself as a lion. Now, we got to figure this out, don't we? Because that doesn't make sense. Micah just said, Jesus causes us to be a refreshing shower to our fellow believers and to the world, small amongst the big. Now he turns around and says, but I also want you to be like a lion and not like the one on the Wizard of Oz. This is, and that's why he looked, well, that's not why. He added this and the Wizard of Oz wasn't made back then, so scratch that. Like a young lion among the flocks of sheep. What does a lion do in a flock of sheep? Oh, I'm going to have Chinese tea with some sheep today. Right. What is a lion? What does it symbolize? How many football teams or schools' nicknames are the Lions? Anybody go to school, your nickname is Lions? Really? Lions. Wow. What does it symbolize? It symbolizes courage, power, and strength. How many nations have on their symbol a lion? In fact, if I'm not mistaken, our ruler, that babe born in the manger in Bethlehem, one of his titles is the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. So God calls us not only to be refreshing shower, but a lion. What in the world does that mean? I read this about lions. The male lions seldom live longer than 10 to 14 years in the wild. You know why? They're always fighting, and they sustain injuries. 10 to 14 years. I want to jump to Revelation 5 and read that real quick. Revelation 5. Verses 1 to 5. Then I saw on the right hand of him who was seated on the throne, that's God the Father, a scroll written within and on the back sealed with seven seals. I saw a mighty angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals? No one in heaven or on the earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll. This is like the title deed to everything. We can't have the rest of Revelation without this thing being opened. The resolution of history, as someone said, the defeat of evil, sin, and death, it all depends on somebody opening this scroll. Verse 4, John says, I began to weep loudly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or look into it. One of the elders said to John, weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the Tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals. He is our leader, our master. He is the Lion of the Tribe of Judah, and he calls us to be little lions because of what he did for us on the cross. Now, let's have a time out here. This does not mean we go around screaming and yelling at people. Don't go into work tomorrow and go, roar! What are you doing? Preacher said, I'm a lion. and HR is calling you, and you're fired. Okay, you're not allowed to growl like a lion at work unless you work at the zoo. Doesn't mean we go around yelling and screaming and thinking we're better and, you know, and blowing up abortion clinics and, you know, and snubbing our noses up at people. That's not what Jesus did. Our master, the lion of the tribe of Judah from which he came from, the scepter will not depart from Judah. That's royalty. He's the King of Kings. No, that's not what it means. It's courage and power. It's being like a soldier of Jesus Christ. And it's sad in our day that many have adopted the philosophy that's opposite of being a lion. We can't beat the world, we'll just join them. Can't beat it. The Bible never teaches that. So we soften the gospel message. We never call people to repent of their sin. It's just believe. I think Jesus said, repent, follow me. I think it all goes together in believing. People don't have wicked hearts anymore. It's a disease, it's a syndrome, it's a disorder. Nobody seems to have a wicked heart, but that's not what the Bible says. So we just kind of, we're not lions. We're little puppies. We take the word of God and we go to the buffet like I did yesterday and we kind of pick through the buffet, you know. I always get the sweet and sour chicken and that red sauce and those long green beans. You hungry? You know, an egg roll. But I never, ever pick that thing that looks like a squirrel on a stick or a rat on a stick. I see people eating that rat and I just can't do it, okay? I don't know what it is. It must be good because people eat it, but I just can't get past the looks of it. I don't want that. But sometimes we take the word of God and I like that. Ooh, I really like that. Ooh, I don't like that. I don't like that. Yeah, I've noticed this. In the last several years, I don't know how many multiple funerals I've done of unbelievers. But you know what their common thought is? My loved one's in heaven. You know why? Because everybody goes to heaven. God isn't holy. Well, do you believe in hell? No. Why do you believe in heaven? I like heaven. Do you believe in hell? No. God would never send somebody to hell. Well, it's in the Bible. No, they didn't really mean that. We can't take the Bible. We're called to be lions. We can't pick and choose. God says, I call my people to be courageous. Stand with your leader, the lion of the tribe of Judah. The small amongst the many. Jude put it this way, and it's Greek present participle, earnestly contending for the faith. He calls us to stand firm in the struggle, to contend. Paul put it this way in 1 Timothy 3. If I delay, you may know how you are to behave in the household of God, which is the church of the living God. And what is the church of the living God? He tells us. It is a pillar or a support beam and a buttress, a foundation of the truth. That's what you and I are part of. That takes lion courage. Everybody at your work says you're nuts. What'd you do this weekend? Well, I went to church. What? You didn't go fishing? No, I went to church. What? Yeah, I went Sunday morning. I went Sunday night. Now I'm going caroling Monday. And Christmas Eve I'll be in church again. What? You're nuts. It's your time. Your time. It takes guts to take a stand. So not only are you to be dew on the ground, but you and I are to be like a lion. And we are to hold tight the faithful word, Titus said, to the shepherds. Why do you think Timothy talked about us being soldiers of Jesus Christ? And look in Micah chapter 5, verse 9. Do you know who wins? Well, we're going to find out. Verse 9. Your hand shall be lifted up over your adversaries. That's the small amongst the big. Who I call you to be a refreshing dew and to be like a lion with courage and power, holding my word. And all your enemies will be cut off. The small win. The small win. Small win. Last point. God's people must be aware of what God hates. Look at verses 10 to 15. In that day, declares the Lord, and I underline this 1, 2, 3, 4 times, the word cut off. I will cut off your horses from among you and will destroy your chariots. Verse 11, I will cut off the cities of your land and throw down all your strongholds. What is he saying here? And kids, this is a part of your outline. You are to rely on me alone. The horse back then would be like our A-10 fighting gunships and our F-16s and all that today. That was the machine, your horse. God said, never depend on the horse. I will defend you. So God says here in that day, especially when you go off into Babylon and even way in the future, I will cut off your horses from among you. I will destroy your chariots. I will cut off the cities of your land and throw down your strongholds. I do not want you trusting in anything but me, and I'm going to cut it all off. And I think he was going to teach them while they were in captivity in Babylon. Rely on me alone. I hate, God says, when you rely on everything else. How many of us rely on our talents, our abilities, our job, our monies, our retirement accounts? Listen, I'm not saying it's wrong to have that, but are you relying on it? God says, I want to cut off everything from you, and I want you to understand that I want you to rely on me. I want you to trust me in this dark world. Look at verse 12. I will cut off sorcerers from your hand, and you shall have no more tellers of fortunes. Now, I know nobody here opens the paper and looks at your horoscope, right? I know nobody in here opens your Chinese fortune cookie and it says, oh, I don't know what they say. You will not eat here again for a month. I don't know what it says. Or you'll meet a tall, dark, handsome stranger, whatever that means. Or don't start a business tomorrow. It won't work. Oh, goodness, I can't start a business tomorrow. Nobody here does that. Nobody here gets online and subscribes to a horoscope, right? None of you do that, correct? You know. Let's see. What's it say today? God says, I want you to talk to me. I want you to talk to me. I came as a babe, and I died on a cross, and I went back to heaven, and I sit at God's right hand. Talk to me. I pave the way for you to talk to me. Isaiah put it this way. And when they say to you, inquire of the mediums and the necromancers who chirp and mutter, should not a people inquire of their God? Should they inquire of the dead on behalf of the living? Talk to me. It's interesting. I looked up, here's a report from 2012. And I believe that's when the economy went down. Psychic services industry in 2012 were worth $2.1 billion. That's with a B. $2.1 billion. How many poor could we feed with that? But we have the commercials on late at night that tell you to give 35 cents a day. But we're spending $2.1 billion to go to some person and they go, oh, don't go down Main Street ever again. Don't move to Ohio. Sorry, Pat. You know. I want to know about my marriage. Give me the other hand. Oh, it doesn't look good. God says, what are you doing? In 2012, there were 79,991 psychic operators. And during the recession, the industry grew because people were worried about their financial future. And God says, I sent my babe who died on the cross and went to heaven. Talk to me. 2 Kings 1:16, he says, did you go and inquire of the God of Ekron because there's no God in Israel? Why are you going to this God of Ekron? Is because I'm not here? And I might have shared this story once, but I know when I was pastoring and working full time and not living at home and traveling back and forth every weekend and trying to sell our house and it wouldn't sell, And man, it was so hard. And I said, Lord, is this ever going to sell? And we got done working on the road one day and I went back to my hotel room and I just was absolutely defeated, discouraged. Where are you? And I sat in my chair in the hotel room and I got out my Bible and I do not know why, but I turned to 2 Kings chapter 1 and I read that verse. Do you go and inquire of the God of Ekron because there's no God in Israel? I just started crying. I said, God, you are there. You are there. You are here. There's no reason for me to worry. And God took care of everything. Talk to me. Talk to me. I'm going to teach you that, he said. Cut off all of these people that work in demonic areas. And then we have rely on me or inquire me. And the last one is worship me. Verses 13 and 14. I will cut off your carved images, your pillars from among you. You shall bow down no more to the work of your hands. I will root out the Asherah images from among you and destroy your cities. Whoa. Why is he telling the remnant and even the world that? I want you to worship me. You ever find in life that a lot of things start meaning too much to you? Guilty, you know. And then you ever ask yourself, why do I care so much about that? Sometimes when the sports teams I like get beat, I get a little, you know, that weird feeling, and I go, why do I care about that? They're still millionaires. I'm still poor. They don't care a thing about me. Why do I care? Why do I care so much? That means too much to me. You ever do that? I do all the time. Why does that bother you so much? God says, I want to wean you away from your idols. I want you to worship me. I'm going to cut off your carved images. And so we can worship anything, can't we? We can worship our wife. We can worship our husband. Or we can worship our children. In fact, I think that's one of the biggest things people worship today is their children. And I think their children keep them from worship. I think their children keep them from living and serving for God. Because what will happen is the system will have your children involved in gymnastics and band and what else we got here? Cheerleading and bronco busting and spelling bees. And listen, I'm not saying some of those things are wrong, but you know what will happen? Before you know it, your kids are involved in 50 things and parents and kids have no time for the babe who was sent, who died on the cross, who went to heaven and said, rely on me, worship me alone. Please don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying we put our kids in a bedroom and lock the door when they're 18. Hey, how you doing? Fingernails are this long and they're dead. You know? Please don't misunderstand me. But Satan is a master, is he not? He will keep us so busy and so wrapped up in things. And if we really examined our heart, we'd go, you know what? I'm worshiping that. I remember when my girls played basketball. Both Abby and Whitney were pretty good. Mackenzie, she didn't care about basketball, but Abby and Whitney were pretty good. Man, I got pretty into that. And I had to realize, Tim. And especially when they knocked Abby down. And I come running down from the stands on the court. Hey! The referee said, you can't be down here. I said, well, she knocked down. Nobody did anything. And by the way, that was a foul. So I went back up in the stands. And the next day, I picked her up in the church van. She had a tough life. I'm not saying those things are wrong. So I learned a lot in sports. I still do it. But I really think we have so many idols and God says, worship me. Rely on me. Talk to me. Worship me. Worship me. And it's interesting how both of these sections, verse 9 and verse 15, end with the same thought. The remnant win. And in anger and wrath, I will execute vengeance on the nations that do not obey. The small amongst the many. Well, let's pull the reindeer into the barn. Wouldn't it be great, by God's grace, to say, it was Christmas 2015 when God changed my heart. Or started to change my heart. God gave me repentance today. And I grasp this truth that I'm under his wrath and I have no hope. And he is my dew and he is my shower alone. that changes my heart and I repent of my sin and I get on my face and I say, God, be merciful to me. I'm under your wrath. And God will come in and save your soul and forgive you of your sin. Wouldn't it be great to say, it was Christmas 2015 when God saved my soul? Wouldn't it be great, believer, today to say that it was Christmas 2015 when God changed my heart and he showed me that I'm not to be the bully to the lost world. I'm to be a refreshing shower. I'm to be a refreshing dew on the ground to a lost and dark world. I honestly wonder what unbelievers think about us when they see us sometimes. Do you ever wonder that? What do they see? Would they say, I want that. I want that. I love the way that person handles life. And I love it when they fail that they come and say, you know what, that was wrong. That was wrong. Wouldn't it be great, maybe it was Christmas 2015, that you began showing more kindness and love and joy to your wife or husband. That your wife can't wait for you to wake up. She sets her alarm for 4 and she just lays in bed staring at you, husband. She can't wait for you to get up because you're such a refreshing dude to her. And he wakes up and says, what are you doing up? Oh, I didn't want to take a shower today. I just wanted you to be my shower. You're so refreshing. I love watching you sleep. Your dimples are so cute. I just love you. Okay, silly, but you get the idea, right? That's what my wife does. You know? Although I'm getting worried because she's made meatloaf a couple times in the last year. A little, maybe she'll be convicted today and be a refreshing dew to me. How about mom and dad to your kids? Isn't it easy to not be refreshing to them? I love my children. 3 of them are here. I hope I'm a refreshing dude to them. Not that I always say I agree with you. Do you need to work on having your children see you as refreshing? Even if you have to say, I don't agree with you. You need to think this through. How about to your coworkers? Oh, I wouldn't have come today if I'd have known this. How about to your boss? A refreshment. How about to your family? To your neighbors? You know, somebody might come up to you and say, what happened to you? Right? What happened to you? Well, I learned that I am to be refreshing dew to you. Don't hand them a Mountain Dew. That won't work. And of course, the last application is, wouldn't it be great if Christmas 2015 that God changed our heart and gave us the courage and power of a lion? Of a lion. Do you need to be more like a lion? I do. A lion with being refreshing at the same time. Have you seen the videos where somebody trains a lion? And they'll come up and they'll put their big old paws and they'll just hug them. You're going, wow. Maybe that's the picture. Courageous and powerful, but under control and being so refreshing. You know what a lion does? They're willing to suffer. A lion's willing to stand alone. A lion is willing to lose it all for something. Are we willing to lose it all for God's word and for our Savior? And a lion will fight to the death so someone else will not conquer him. You know, I am so glad. You ever watch those National Geographic videos? I am so glad I'm not an animal. Because you got to fight for your woman. You know what I mean? It's horrible. You ever seen those rams do it with the ram's horns? Holy moly. It's just like, I want that woman. I want that woman. All right, we're going at it. Lions fighting each other? Be thankful. But a lion, they're willing to lose it all so they won't be conquered. That's what God calls for you and me. I'm calling them the small amongst the big to be a refreshing glass of water to this world, but also to be strong and powerful and courageous no matter what suffering I bring, because I've said it for the last several months, it's coming. It's coming. Because he is the Lion of the tribe of Judah, is he not? King of kings and Lord of lords. And is not Jesus the absolute beautiful picture of refreshment and lion? He's just a beautiful picture. Father, thank you. Change us this Christmas. Change me. Your word amazes me. It really does. This sermon today doesn't make sense to the world. How can you be refreshing cup of cold water, yet at the same time be a lion? Well, that was Jesus. Lord, I pray that you would convict us as we close this service today. I pray your spirit has been sweeping through the congregation and would continue to do that. And maybe as we sing that we would bow our head and maybe say, God, forgive me. Forgive me. I have not been a refreshing soul to the lost world. I haven't been a refreshing soul to my wife, to my husband, to my children, to my coworkers. Just fill in the blank. And Lord, may we just say, God, forgive us and strengthen me and convict me. Help me to change. Help me to change. Father, maybe today some here have not been a shining light to a dark world, and it is hard. And maybe we need to bow out of this song and just pray, God, give me a love for those who you wept for, who killed you the next day. Change my heart. When I go into work, may the lost souls who live in wickedness see a refreshing light. Lord, I pray that our time today has not been wasted, as it hasn't, because it's the word. But I pray that it would fall on ears that can hear. And God, if there's anyone here today that's not redeemed, they're not saved, if they died now, they would not be in your presence. Only you can open their eyes and give them the gift of faith. I pray you'd give them the gift of faith this Christmas season, that they would truly see Jesus as they've never seen him before. The light of the world, the Savior, the Redeemer, the one sent to Bethlehem to die. So move upon our hearts in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand together and sing. As always, if you need to get alone and pray, you can come up here and sit or kneel. And if you have questions about Jesus, I'll be right up here. You're welcome to come up. But don't let the message pass. Go to God, whatever he's spoken to your heart today.